It was a hut, or shed, small and rickety as if a child had built it. Ged knocked on the low door with his staff. It remained shut. Ged pushed it open and entered, stooping nearly double to do so. He could not stand up straight inside the hut. Coals lay red in the fire pit, and by their dim glow, Ged saw a man with white, long hair who crouched in terror against the far wall, and another, man or woman he could not tell, peering from a heap of rags or hides on the floor. I won't hurt you, Ged whispered. They said nothing. He looked from one to the other. Their eyes were blank with terror. When he laid down his staff, the one under the pile of rags hid, whimpering. Ged took off his cloak that was heavy with water and ice, stripped naked and huddled over the fire pit. Give me something to wrap myself in, he said. He was hoarse and could hardly speak for the chattering of his teeth and the long shudders that shook him. And if they heard him, neither of the old ones answered. He reached out and took a rag from the bed heap, a goat hide it might have been years ago, but it was now all tatters and black grease. The one under the bed heap moaned with fear, but Ged paid no heed. He rubbed himself dry and then whispered, "Have you wood? Wood? Build up the fire a little, old man. I come to you in need. I mean you no harm." The old man didn't move, watching him in a stupor of fear. Do you understand me? Do you speak no Hardik? Ged paused and then asked, "Kargad?" At that word, the old man nodded all at once, one nod like a sad old puppet on strings, but as it was the only word Ged knew of the Kargish language, it was the end of their conversation. They found wood piled by one wall and built up the fire himself, and then with gestures asked for water, for swallowing seawater had sickened him, and now he was parched with thirst. Cringing, the old man pointed to a great shell that held water and pushed towards the fire another shell in which were strips of smoke-dried fish. And so, cross-legged close by the fire, Ged drank and ate a little, and as some strength and sense began to come back into him, he wondered where he was. Even with the mage wind, he could not have sailed clear to the Kargad lands. This islet must be out in the reach, east of Gaunt, but still west of Karegohat. It seemed so strange that people dwelt in so small and forlorn a place, a mere sandbar. Maybe they were castaways, but he was too weary to puzzle his head about them then. He kept turning his cloak to the heat. The silvery Palawi fur dried fast, and as soon as the wool of the facing was at least warm, if not dry, he wrapped himself in it and stretched out by the fire pit. "Go to sleep, poor folk," he said to his silent hosts, and lay his head down on the floor of sand and slept. 3 nights he spent on the Nameless Isle, for the first morning when he woke he was sore in every muscle and feverish and sick. He lay like a log of driftwood in the hut by the fire pit all that day and night. And the next morning he woke still, stiff and sore, but recovered, and he put back on his salt-crusted clothes, for there was not enough water to wash them, and going out into the gray, windy morning, looked over this place whereto the shadow had tricked him. It was a rocky sandbar, a mile wide at its widest, and a little longer than that, fringed all about with shoals and rocks. No tree or bush grew on it, no plant but the bowing seagrass. The hut stood in a hollow of the dunes, and the old man and woman lived there alone, in the utter desolation of the empty sea. The hut was built, or piled up, rather, of driftwood planks and branches. Their water came from a little brackish well beside the hut. Their food was fish and shellfish, fresh or dried, and rockweed. The tattered hides in the hut and a little store of bone needles and fish hooks, and the sinew for fish lines and fire drill came not from goats, as Ged had thought at first, but from spotted seal. And indeed, this was the kind of place where the seal will go to raise their pups in summer. But no one else comes to such a place. The old ones feared Ged not because they thought him a spirit, and not because he was a wizard, but only because he was a man. They had forgotten that there were other people in the world. The old man's sullen dread never lessened. When he thought Ged was coming close enough to touch him, he would hobble away, peering back with a scowl around his bush of dirty white hair. At first the old woman had whimpered and hidden under her rag pile whenever Ged moved, but as he had lain dozing feverishly in the dark hut, he saw her squatting to stare at him with a strange, dull, yearning look, and after a while she had brought him water to drink. When he sat up to take the shell from her, she was scared and dropped it, spilling all the water, and then she wept and wiped her eyes with her long, whitish-gray hair. Now she watched him as he worked down on the beach, shaping driftwood and planks from his boat that had washed ashore into a new boat, using the old man's crude stone adze and a binding spell. This was neither a repair nor a boat building, for he had not enough proper wood and must supply all his wants with pure wizardry. Yet the old woman did not watch his marvelous work so much as she watched him with that same craving look in her eyes. After a while she went off and came back presently with a gift, a handful of mussels she had gathered on the rocks. Ged ate them as she gave them to him, sea-wet and raw, and thanked her. Seeming to gain courage, she went to the hut and came back with something again in her hands, a bundle wrapped up in a rag. Timidly watching his face all the while, she unwrapped the thing and held it up for him to see. It was a little child's dress of silk brocade, stiff with seed pearls, stained with salt, yellow with years.